Hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are starting a new book, the Book of Shmot. And the first thing that we see, Ele Shmot Bnei Yisrael. And of course, there is, for everything there is a reason. So why do we start with Shemot? What is so important about Shemot? We all know it's very important. Names are very important. And one of the reasons that Am Yisrael were saved from Egypt was because they didn't change their names. And this brings us to another interesting point. When we talk about Shifrah and Puah, you know who Shifrah and Puah are?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Midwives.
Is this the real name?
No.
Yochevet and Miriam. So what is this name, Shifrah and Puah?
I read, but I don't
remember. So Rashi is explaining Shifrah she'meshaperet et havalad, like he's helping the boy, and they bring it and give it an explanation, like it looks like it's a name that who gave them the name, the mother, the father, who knows what. But the real truth is that you know where the name is from. From Pharaoh.
Yes.
Pharaoh gave them the name.
Yes.
How do we know this?
They weren't Egyptians.
No, of course not. They were Jewish. How do we know it? This whole story is very strange. Why is it strange? Imagine to yourself, Egypt. You have the king, Pharaoh, and you have this slave neighborhood. And when we talk about king and slaves, they don't talk with each other. But there is no communication. And certainly not relations. And we see that Pharaoh is calling those mialdot, those midwives, and he's talking with them.
Very strange.
Which is very strange.
So it's like upper class and lower class.
Exactly. Now, all the upper class in Egypt, if you were at a high level enough, you used to have one of the letters of the name of Pharaoh in your name. And the most important letter was the pay. Because Pharaoh starts with pay. So, Potiphar. You remember Potiphar?
Yeah.
He's got two pays. It's not funny because Yosef is being called Tzofnat Paaneach. Again, two pays.
What is Tzofnat Paaneach?
That's the name that Pharaoh gave to Joseph. His Egyptian name was Tzofnat Paaneach. But he used his Hebrew name. So how is it he could use his Hebrew name? Because his Hebrew name is?
Yosef.
What we got in the... We have a pay in the name. Yosef, we have a pay. So he can use it and stay in his position. Now, Shifrah and Puah, the same story. So what was happening here? Pharaoh was not a stupid guy. He was very clever. Now he wanted to find a way, how can he kill those children, that those newborn, without nobody noticing? So he said, I'll talk with the midwives, and I ask them to kill the boys and leave the girls alive. And this way, you know, we're talking about Am Yisrael, in every pregnancy, six children, six babies. So it's very possible that not all of them are going to survive. So if we would kill all of them, the males and the females, so people will say, huh, we're not going to let this midwife come near us because she's killing the children, everybody's dead. But in the minute she's going to have six babies, and let's say we'll have two girls and four
boys,
we'll kill the boys and the two girls will stay alive.
So it happens.
And it happens. Okay, six in a one... pregnancy, it can happen.
Multiple births in those days.
That's what was happening with Am Yisrael. Paru v'yishretzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'mod me'od. So we see that Pharaoh, how could he convince those midwives to do what he wants? So imagine to yourself, this slave girl, which is the lowest level of society in Egypt. There is nothing lowest. And suddenly, the king himself approaches her and gives her a special name, and he comes to visit her. And you know, imagine to yourself, come with his limousine to the slave quarter with those motorcycle in front of him, and he's stopping at the house of Miriam and Yocheved, and he comes with her in there, and he's talking to them like he's friendly to them. Wow, they will feel
important,
very important. And the king himself is asking them to do something, giving them. It's like if they call some. If we will put it in our days, it's going to the queen and be getting an be knighted, the sir and a lady. Wow, this is unbelievable. And now the king asks you to do something, you will do it. But we're talking about Yocheved and Miriam. Didn't work. They were not only didn't kill, they helped the pregnant woman to bring all the children, all the babies in the best condition, and also treated them later on. So Pharaoh is calling them. He said, wow, what's happening here? So they answer him very simply. So we come there, and when we come, the babies are already there. They don't need the midwives. Says, so why do you come with food? And I hear a story that you bring them food and you treat them. Says, what do you want us to come? To come with nothing and tell what? We came to kill your children? No, we play the game like you wanted us to play. But unfortunately, those Jewish women, they don't need a midwife. So there was nothing to be done. And then, of course, he decides that the action is going to be made. After the babies are being born, they're going to throw them to the river.
In my class, in my time, because we're talking about that,
yeah.
And the teacher said that it could be that the midwives were not Jewish, that they were Egyptian. And she compared them to the righteous Gentiles, the Shoah.
Yeah.
And they saved these children that...
Yeah, but we all know that Shifra and Pua are Yocheved and Miriam, and I'll tell you why. Because we see right Vayehi ke'aru amyaldot et ha'elokim. This is Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Says, and when they feared, those midwives feared God, Vaya'as lahem batim. What is Vaya'as lahem batim?
Hashem give them houses, but it's not houses. Really houses.
A house in Savion?
No.
In Atzeliya Pitua? What house?
Rashi doesn't say
house. Ranana? Wow. What house?
No. The generation who will come up from them will be...
So it says, Batei Leviya, Ubatei Keuna, Vebatei Malchut.
It's the Shevets.
Yeah.
No, he gave them... They are going to have Kohanim, Leviim, and kings.
Yeah.
So, in other words, we're talking here about Jewish midwife and not Gentile. Okay, there are a lot of explanations. And the Torah, Shivim Panim La Torah. No, I'm sure you didn't make it up.
It was interesting that.
Yeah, but don't worry, we have a Gentile woman also in our parsha, which is also making an heroic thing. And this is Batya, the daughter of
Pharaoh.
Hitler Pharaoh Yimach Shimo V'Zichro. And she is saving this Jewish boy, which accidentally is the savior of Am Yisrael.
Yeah.
And accidentally is being raised where?
In the palace
of Pharaoh, who wanted to kill the savior of Am Yisrael, but instead what is he doing?
He's
not only raising him, he's educating him, giving him all the right tools so he can be the savior of Am Yisrael and come to talk with him, let's say, in 10 years, 20 years, or 40 years. And that's what's happening. In other words, he wanted to kill the savior of Am Yisrael, and he was the one
who
raised him and saved him.
One of the misfortunes of Bacchus was Bacchus was becoming.
This is the end of her.
Like the Hebrews, and she was.
She converted. She converted.
Yeah. But at that time, that's why she found the baby.
Yeah.
That's why she was there.
Wonderful.
They say one of the midrash says irachatz. She went to the Yaor to wash herself.
Yeah.
So one of them said to wash herself from all the idol worshippers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she's doing this unbelievable thing. And you have to understand the picture. You know, we're talking here about the daughter of Pharaoh. It's not a joke. And she knows what her father said. We have to kill all those babies. And she comes to the palace back with a baby.
And he takes it.
And a Jewish baby. And he takes it. Huh? What's happening here?
Her name, Batya.
And that's a Hebrew name already.
Yeah.
Batya, a daughter of God.
So I know her.
Yes.
But I mean, so she had converted or anything and took a Hebrew name? Or?
Because that's what they usually get.
No, from what I understand, from what I think, per se, she converted later on.
Hmm.
Because she still was in the palace of Pharaoh, living there.
But Moshe was brought up as an Egyptian, wasn't he?
Of course.
Yeah,
he
killed,
of course. That's what I'm saying. So she didn't convert yet.
When you talk about conversion, correct me, but we weren't Jews. We hadn't received the Torah yet.
Yeah.
So we were Israelites. We weren't Jews, per se. We didn't... To convert to...
Yeah, no, it's not like conversion today. I understand what you're asking. I understand what you're saying. It's not like conversion today.
No.
It's become a part of the Hebrew nation. You can call it whatever you want. Because the Hebrew nation at that time is those tribes of Yaakov.
So what influenced her? I don't understand.
What influenced her to do what she did?
No. Are you suggesting that she saw something that interested her enough not only to be like the Israelites, but she's taken upon herself to save a Israelite boy.
No.
What, the two related? That's my question.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. I think so. What was happening is, like, if we look at the story as it is.
Is it a mystery? I mean, is it like Purim?
No.
Is God working behind the scenes?
God is always working behind the scenes. No. God is always... No, I understand what you say. Because you see that what's happening is... Like, Pharaoh is giving... It's not normal
for Pharaoh
to raise in his palace a Jewish baby.
I understand, but we, the way we think, we always try to find a reason.
Of course.
So,
and in a minute I'll give you a reason.
Thank you.
We have to understand what's going on. That's why we're talking. Because... Really, it's very strange. Pharaoh raising a Jewish kid in his palace?
Yeah.
But there's a very simple explanation. As we say, Pharaoh was very clever. He was not stupid.
His daughter couldn't have children.
Kanireh. It looks like it. But,
looks
like it. She saw, maybe she went on the river and she saw all the bodies of the babies, and suddenly something inside her happened. And he says, this is impossible what the father is doing. I have to save. At least I'll save one of them. So then she sees this little thing and this little cot in the river, and she takes it and she sees this baby, and she says when they open the so she saw suddenly a light coming out. So she understands this is not just another baby, it's a special baby. They say also she had leprosy, and the minute she opened the box, the leprosy went off. There are a lot of stories, but I like to talk about what we see when we read it.
She said something that when Moshe was born, there was like a light.
The same thing. She saw an era around him. Yeah. Something. He was a special baby. We all know it.
He's a light unto the nation.
Yes, of course. So now, what's happening is, she is going down to the river. She takes this baby. She brings him to the palace. And Pharaoh, unbelievably, is raising this baby, Jewish baby, in the palace. What's going on through his head? If you remember, not very many years ago, at the Holocaust, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, they took pictures of the concentration camp, of a few of them, and like they made it look like it's a holiday place. Yeah. And they sent those films all over the world. They said, wow, we are unbelievable people. Look how we treat those Jews. And Pharaoh had the same idea. He says, what is best to show the world that I'm not so evil as they think? I have a baby. I have a Jewish baby in my palace. I'm raising him, giving him everything. And from the other side, he was sure that if he's going to give him the right education, he's going to go against his brothers. And he's going to be the one that is going to show everybody that he is from one side Jewish and from the other side...
He's a Jew.
He is Egyptian, a proud Egyptian. What is better than this? But the problem is, he didn't know he's dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes out at the age of 40 from the palace, and he sees this Egyptian guy hitting this Jewish guy. And now he has to decide, what am I going to do? From one side, I am Egyptian. From the other side, I am Jewish. What do I want to be? What would you want to be? A Jewish slave or an Egyptian prince? Egyptian prince. Ooh. And you have to understand, he also was educated as an Egyptian prince. So in other words, he was very close to all the Egyptian culture. He had nothing to do with this slave nation. He was raised in a palace.
Yeah, that's another question. That question I'm sure you're going to raise.
Yes.
You raise one issue. The other issue is, what was Moses' connection with
the people?
Israelites, yeah. Right?
He knew
you're
going to
ask that question, yeah?
Yeah. He knew who he was.
He knew
he is Jewish.
His
he knew he is Jewish.
So,
and here comes to... Here we come to know... I think this is this turning point. Or let's say it's the point of no return. Because now he is standing in front of the problem. He's not a small kid. He's the age of 40. Now he knows everything. Now he's got... Okay, what do I do? He says, "Vayabet kovacho." He looked here and there and he saw en ish. What is en ish?
Nobody.
There is nobody there. What does it mean, nobody? He says, from one side I am Egyptian. From the other side I'm Jewish. So who am I? Who am I? Nobody. Because you cannot be divided. You have to decide who you are. The reform movement to start in Germany, what did they say? Be a Jew in your house and a German outside.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do a thing like this? No, doesn't work.
Well, you have in Portugal, Spain.
No, that's something else that they had to hide their identity.
Right.
Here, they didn't talk about hiding the identity.
But
they were talking about being a part. We don't want to know about Israel. We don't want to know about Jerusalem. We don't know what want to know about anything. We are like Germans. That keep a Jewish tradition. That's what we are.
Right.
Unfortunately, you cannot...
They found out that they couldn't do it.
Unfortunately, Hitler showed everybody that if you even were a third generation Jewish, not Jewish according to the halacha, doesn't matter. One of your parents was connected to Judaism, you were led to the camps.
Is it a fact, or is it generally accepted that Moshe knew that he was Jewish?
It's a fact that he knew that he's Jewish because Moshe Rabbeinu is not stupid, first of all, we all know it. Secondly, Vayar Ish Ivri is written like this. 1 minute.
His mother nursed him.
Yeah, his mother nursed him first.
Maybe he nursed
and
him.
Teach him that he is a Jew.
And you know how he knew?
No, it's written in the Pshat.
They reminded him.
Where is it?
He got reminded when he saw...
Yeah, she asked the question, he knew that he was Jewish.
Yeah, he found out.
No, are we certain that...
Yeah, it's written here, in Perek, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayahi bayamim ahem.
It's a Perek.
The Perek...
He was born...
No, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek...
It is his mother's circumcision.
Perek Gimel, I think. Yes.
Got it?
Okay, so what's written? Perek Bet. Okay. Vayhi bayamim ahem, vayigdal Moshe, vayetze el
Echav.
So, does he know he is Jewish? Of course. It's written very clearly. But it doesn't... you see, the point is, so what?
Yeah.
Okay. For 40 years he's raised up in the palace. Until that, he didn't have any connection. Let's say, okay, there were his brother. So what? He didn't leave the palace.
Mm-hmm.
He still stayed in the palace.
He
didn't do anything for them.
He had all the luxury. Why would he go?
Exactly. So, but now suddenly something happens.
Like,
so what happened now?
He saw a Jew.
Being hit by an Egyptian, and suddenly he looked. 1 minute, what's going on here?
Right.
Here is something, there is a problem. You know, if I'm Jewish, I should help this Jew. Mm-hmm. If I'm Egyptian, I should
walk away
and let the Egyptian kill this Jew. Who cares? So who am I? So he looked, one of the beautiful explanations says, Vayabet Kovacho, he looked right and left and he saw half Egyptian, half Jewish, nothing there. Vayar ki en ish. This is nothing. So I have to decide, what do? Vayachta mitzri vayachat mineu vachol. He took the Egyptian inside him and throw him into the sand, and from this minute he becomes
Jewish.
Not only Jewish, he has to run.
Yeah.
He has to escape.
Yeah.
He has to leave all the beauty of the palace and be like a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if you think about it,
quite an undertaking.
Who would do it today? Who would do
what
a thing like
this?
What
happened to the man that he saved?
One of the beautiful explanations says, the Pshat says, he saw there is nobody, and then he killed the Egyptian. Okay? Mm-hmm. The next day, he sees two Jews fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, Lama takereecha? Why do you hit your friend? Rasha, Lama takereecha? So what is this guy answering him? Ah, you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?
Yeah.
He says, 1 minute. A minute ago we saw there was nobody there. So?
Sounds like Jews.
Who saw it? If there is nobody there, how did they know that he killed the Egyptian?
They were all watching, yeah.
But it says there's nobody there.
News travels fast.
One of them was the one he'd say. Yes,
I'm talking about the Pshat. This is one of the explanations. Think about it. He looked there was nobody there, then he killed the Egyptian. The next day, what is he telling me, this guy? Ah, you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? In other words,
the one he saved
yesterday from the Egyptian today is telling him off.
Yes.
There are a lot of explanations to this. This is like a gimmick. Let's say it's a gimmick explanation.
He must have been a lefty.
When he looked to the left, he saw the Egyptian. And he decided to go right, to be Jewish.
No, I'm saying the guy didn't kill.
Because he wanted to be Egyptian.
Yeah, right.
he went to the Egyptian and tell off.
He's a stinker.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why later on, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking God, you want me to go and save those people. But what right do they have? What merit do they have that I'm going to save them? Look at them. And if we think about it, of course he's right. Because after all those 10 plagues, how many people go out of Egypt? 20%. And this is the Midrash that says the minimum. In other words, 80% stayed in Egypt.
They stayed just because they didn't.
They were killed. They said they were killed in the darkness plague.
Yeah, in the darkness. Because they were so mixed already, so Egyptian.
Somebody asked me today a very interesting question. He says,
that was
he said, when we talk about Am Yisrael being like big worshipping idols and everything, how is it possible that they even thought about things like this, being so oppressed? Was it exactly the point?
Well,
say again, what's the question?
When you're depressed, you look for those kinds of
things. What was the question?
And what do you connect yourself to? The question is, when we look at the Jewish nation, we talk that we're in 49 levels of tumah, of impurity. He says, how didn't have even time to think about being Jewish, being Egyptian, worshipping God, not worshipping idols. They were oppressed. They had to survive. They were fighting for their lives. So how is it that they were getting to this so deep into the tumah, into impurity? How is it? It's a very interesting question, but that's exactly the point. You see, what happens when you are in a situation that the only thing that you're concerned about is what you're going to eat tomorrow and to survive? Then what do you become?
An animal.
Exactly.
What?
An animal. And when you become an animal, you are not spiritual anymore. You are connected to your physical path.
Yeah.
And this is meaning that they were all idol worshippers.
But they were slaves. And how can be that in desert they are missing the meat that they ate there and all the good things? They had good things.
When we come there, we'll talk about it, but we all know they didn't have anything. So that's exactly the point. That they say that what do they miss? They miss to being to do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah.
You see, they say avda be'efkera nichale. You know, when you become today, yes, I think yesterday we talked about. It's very interesting. You see, when God went, when did it all start? That God just came and helped us to go out of Egypt. When Am Israel cried to God, "Vatal zakatam el Elokim."
They found God.
Before this, God didn't come. Why? What is the Torah trying to tell us? Sometimes you can get to a level that you don't care about nothing. You just go on with life. So you are a slave. You're a slave. That's your life.
You accept it.
They hit you. You accept it. You get to a level of
depression.
You being how do you say apathic?
Apathetic.
You don't care. Whatever happens, happens. And that's the worst situation of a human being. That's not a human being.
It's called giving up hope.
No, exactly. Hope. So if you give up hope, there is nothing there.
You know where they said they want to go back to Egypt with me? My mother-in-law had these friends who were in concentration camp. They survived. They came to America. And we were sitting and talking. I don't remember what it was about anymore, but they said they came from Poland.
Yeah.
Oh, the Poles
were,
The geese in Poland were so much better. And
yeah, this was better.
And I'm saying to myself, how could they even think that anything
for
that
us,
was better?
For us, we don't understand it. We cannot understand it. But if you think about it, they were, that's where their homeland. That was their homeland. You know, we don't realize it. Like, I talked about it this week. Russia. My grandfather, Alav HaSholom, he was dealing with cattle.
With what?
Cattle. Bakar.
Bakar.
Cattle. Not cats, cattle. Okay, and he was one of the biggest in his area.
That's why he's an hamburger.
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm called hamburger. They used to do a lot of hamburgers. And what you used to do, you used to buy the cattle. And then you used to give it to the butcher. The butcher used to sell it and then paid you, and then you paid the taxes. So one day, when the Nazis went up to be in control, they gave him a special law that he has to pay the taxes before he even sells the cattle. Mm-hmm. How can you pay the taxes before you sold? They didn't make any profit yet. So he went to the governor of the area, and he talked to him, they were friendly. He told him, "Mr. Hamburger, I have to tell you, if you go to court, you win." You win.
Yeah.
"But I don't know what's going to happen to you after you win. Because things are getting very hard here for you, for the Jews. And if you're asking me, get out of here." So I went back home and told my grandmother. And my grandmother, she was a tough lady. And she says, "Let's pack, we're going." And they didn't go to the States. They went to Eretz Israel. And my grandfather didn't so quickly agree with it. Because you have to understand,
it was
a rich person. He had money for me. He was a very rich person. He had houses. He had everything. This is what his homeland was. And suddenly you tell him, go, leave everything and go to this desert country.
Live in tents.
It's not here. Think about it. But my grandmother said, "We're leaving." One of his sisters didn't leave, and she
perished.
It's easy when the smoke is coming under the door, they say. You get out of the house, the next door is on fire. It's not going to bother me.
Yeah. And you see, you have to understand that we're talking about Germany. Germany was this society of... gave the Jews the freedom to do whatever they wanted to a few years ago.
Yeah.
Who could believe it? It says, okay, it's going to be an episode. Next election is going to be... It's not going to go on. The German nation wouldn't let it go. But we see what happened.
Very bad.
And it's the same story in Egypt. It's nothing new. Why did it all start? When the Jews kept to themselves, nobody bothered them. The minute they started mixing with all the other people, then the problem starts. It says in the beginning of the parsha, "Vatimale ha'aretz otam." Vayakom melech hadash al Mitzrayim.